beyond even that into the utter joy of being of which your relationship is only a hope. Chapter 48. You are responsible for the growth in intimacy. There are masculine and feminine gifts in intimacy, and each gift comes with its own responsibility. The direction of growth of a relationship is primarily the man's responsibility. The energy of an intimacy, pleasure, sexual flow, and vitality is primarily the woman's responsibility. A simplified way of saying this is that the man is responsible for the woman's depth of love, or openness of mood, and the woman is responsible for the man's erection, or energy in the body. Once you have grown into independent adulthood, you no longer need somebody to take care of you. You can be responsible for yourself. In particular, you realize that you are responsible for your own happiness. Nobody can live your life for you. You must create your own health, success, and happiness. This sense of self-responsibility is only a partial maturity, however. Beyond self-responsibility lies the responsibility to give your gift. It is important to grow beyond dependence on your intimate partner for your own happiness. But it's equally important to grow beyond simple independence and autonomy. The next stage of intimacy after personal independence has been attained is the mutual flow of gifting, or serving each other in love. You may have noticed that your woman can get lost in her moods. She can get on a roll of hyper-nervousness, or she can feel dejected and mope around the house surrounded by a black cloud. It is extremely difficult for most women to get out of their mood once they are in it. Your loving intervention is one of your great masculine gifts. The point is not to be her therapist, but to be her wake-up call, her heart opener, her reminder of the primacy of love. If it takes you more than 5 minutes to open her into love, you are probably talking too much and acting too little. Or perhaps you have forgotten your true purpose. Your masculine gift is to know where you are, where you want to be, and what you need to do to get there. If you don't know one of these, then you need to discover it by any means necessary. This vision is, essentially, the basic gift you have to offer your woman, as well as the world. If you have no higher vision than the day-to-day grind of housework, job, childcare, TV, and vacations, you are failing your birthright. Your woman will feel cheated and ungifted by you, as will the world, and they will both give you less of their gifts in return. If your woman is always stressed out, you need to know what she could do with her life in very practical terms so she can relax. Perhaps she needs to exercise more, meditate more, change her career, dance more, or spend more time with her woman friends. If your woman feels unfulfilled most of the time, you need to know what she is missing. How often does she open her heart and body in the irrepressible ecstasy of devotional surrender? How often does she abandon herself fully into the divine love which surrounds her? How often do you serve her to do so? Are you playing the game of sensitive man, giving her space to be miserable, rather than offering her your consistent and fearless gifting? And if she doesn't want your gift, your deepest wisdom and unsuppressed loving, then why would you want to be with her? Your main gift in intimacy is to guide her, moment by moment, out of her moods and into the openness of loving, and then, day by day, to guide her life into greater degrees of divine love, even beyond the relationship, so that her life becomes primarily communion, gifting, and celebration. If you cannot offer your woman such guidance, what can you offer her? Why is she with you? What is your relationship all about? To offer this masculine gift, you must cultivate your sense of daily practice. Like a musician practicing his art, you must practice, daily, the art of feeling through your fear, feeling to your edge and then living just beyond your edge, neither slinking into private consolation nor pushing so hard you disconnect from your source. The source that is your deepest truth must become more and more the impulse of your life. Over time, all of your activities must become aligned to this source, and so must your relationship. Because you probably tend to become lost in your thoughts, in your goals, and in your projects, one of the main gifts your woman can offer you is getting you into your body, into the present, into love, which connects you to your source. Through her touch, her loving, and her attractiveness, she can also give you energy so that your whole body becomes like an erection, full and alive and ready to penetrate the world into love. Your woman might be the President of the United States. Still, if you have a masculine sexual essence, her special gift to you is to bring you back into your body with the attractive force of her feminine energy. Without a woman to serve your present embodiment of love, you might spend most of your time working on your projects, staring into a computer screen, churning thoughts in your head, or seeking future goals of financial or spiritual freedom. Meanwhile, you have lost touch with the present, with your body and your woman. When you can simply be with your body and your woman, fully present, without pulling away into your head of separation, then the boundaries begin to dissolve in the openness of your loving. When you can feel through your woman and your body, they become as if transparent, and the source and radiant substance of existence becomes obvious through them. Your natural gesture in this revelation of transparency is service. There is nothing to do but dissolve in the giving of your gift. Your woman may not want to receive your gift. Your woman may resist your gift, and so may the world. But you have no choice. Live at your edge. Love as fully as possible. Let your body be erect with the energy of your deep source, and take full responsibility for giving whatever love you have realized to the world and your woman. Both will seem to refuse you and seduce you until you can feel through them. Feel through your woman and the world, and die in the giving of your gift. Chapter 49. Insist on practice and growth. Direction in life is a masculine priority, even in intimate relationship. A less spiritually mature man may say to his woman, "My way or the highway." A man in the process of growing will often soften his direction and seek a compromise with his woman, playing Mr. Nice Guy. But a superior man will not settle for less than the fullest incarnation of love of which he and his woman are capable. With compassion, he slices through all bullshit and demands authenticity and humor. It's as if he were saying to his woman, "The divine way or the highway?" It's the same masculine insistence on direction that a weaker man will demand. But rather than wanting his woman to follow his personal direction, a superior man wants her to move in the direction that most serves her growth in love and happiness. He will settle for nothing less. If you don't know your own direction in life, you certainly will stand on shaky ground offering your woman direction. So the first step is to align your own life so that at least in this present moment, you are living at your edge, fully aligned with your sense of purpose. If you are not absolutely certain that, in this moment, you are living exactly the life you need to, then your woman will feel your lack of clarity, and she will fight any kind of guidance you offer her. You will tend to forget the purpose of your existence as you get lost in your daily round of projects, business, and duties. Your woman will tend to forget the love at her core as she gets lost in cycles of mood and emotion. As a gift to both of you, you must cut through your own nose-to-the-grindstone mentality, as well as your woman's ensconcement in sadness, fear, and anger, and reveal the truth. However deeply you have penetrated into the mystery of existence, it is that depth from which your gift will spring. Any obstruction to that depth by yourself or your woman must be cut through in the present moment so that your gift may come from the deepest source. If you don't cut through and take direction, your woman will. Masculine and feminine energies in intimacy are governed by the law of conservation. The less masculine direction you are living in truth, the more masculine direction your woman will take on. If you are lolling about in bozo land or working hard but actually not living your true gift, then your woman will resent your lack of deep direction. She will begin to take on the masculine blade herself, trying to cut through your lolling so that you feel the urgency, connect to your depth, and really give your gift. Since at your core, however, you are masculine, her masculine attempt to cut through your lolling will depluralize you. You will bash heads with her like two rams, since both of you are in your masculine. And if you move into your feminine, things may get worse. a deep habit may develop wherein no matter how strong you are in the business world, you become pussy-whipped in your relationship. Your woman gets sharp and masculine. You become falsely receptive and agreeable, and meanwhile, both of you feel like vomiting. If your woman is chronically sharp with you, it is most likely a sign that, regardless of how successful you are outside of your intimacy, you are not aligning both of your lives with the highest truth. You are not cutting through the underbrush of your duties and your woman's moods to reveal the fertile ground source of your lives. And so, your woman must wield her own sword. By the law of conservation of masculine and feminine energy, whatever masculine gifts you aren't offering, your woman will naturally try to offer. But since, in truth, your core is masculine, her masculine offerings will most likely turn you off, eventually even repulsing you. You are entirely responsible for cutting through your own laziness, addictions, and unclarity. There is nothing to wait for and nobody to blame. Whatever techniques are appropriate, use them. Try talking with your friends, using therapy, practicing meditation or prayer, going on a vision quest, reading scripture, walking in nature, keeping a journal or studying with a teacher. Remember that your success with any method you choose depends entirely on your actual commitment to discovering your deepest truth and aligning your life with it. You could meditate until you're blue in the face, but it won't work if, when it comes down to it, you'd rather masturbate, read the newspaper, or watch TV than cut through your addictions, discipline your daily life, and give your gift from your deepest, most blissful source. The quality of your intent and the consistency and depth of your application determine the results of your direction and gifting, as well as your capacity to guide your woman's life into greater happiness and bodily surrender into love. Chapter 50. Restore Your Purpose in Solitude and with Other Men. A man rediscovers and fine-tunes his purpose in solitude, in challenging situations, and in the company of other men who won't settle for his bullshit. But women strengthen their feminine radiance best in the company of other women in mutual celebration and play. A man must arrange for both forms of restoration, his own solitude and men's gatherings, and his woman's time with other women. If you spend too much time with your woman, you will rub off on each other in the worst way. In order to get along together, she will begin to adopt your masculine patterns of speech, denying her feminine desire to flow in play and pleasure without having to make masculine style sense or fulfill a purpose. You will begin to adopt her feminine patterns of touch and affection, denying your desire to get down to it with your mission or your woman. Instead, you will find yourself pecking your woman on the cheek or giving her hugs and pats of lovey-dovey reassurance. In short, the goddess and the warrior will become neutralized householders, sharing only the mildest play of sexual polarity. In order to enliven her feminine core, your woman should spend time every day in absolute abandon and celebration. During these times of dancing, singing, laughter, and sheer delight, her body and mind should be totally released of any obligation to be masculine, directed, controlled, structured, or goal-oriented. These occasions are most rejuvenating when she is with other women, magnifying and rejoicing in each other's feminine radiance and flow. If your woman lacks this frequent feminine rejuvenation, she will develop symptoms of depressed feminine energy, disease, especially in her more feminine parts, lack of life energy, low sexual desire and enjoyment, and a blue, downhearted, despondent disposition. Much of the modern men's movement has concentrated on men reclaiming their inner feminine energy. If you want to revitalize your own feminine energy, then you can do pretty much the same as women do to revitalize their feminine energy. You can go out into the woods and sing and dance and laugh with your friends. For men who have become rigidly stuck in their masculine direction, without allowing the flow of joy and sharing in their lives, this is good medicine. But for men who have lost their sense of purpose, who don't know what their life is about, or who have trouble aligning their life with their truth, singing and dancing aren't the remedy. The cure for lack of purpose is to be challenged to live at your edge, since you have lost the capacity to live there by yourself. The two ways to bring you right to your masculine edge of power are austerity and challenge. Austerity means to eliminate the comforts and cushions in your life that you have learned to snuggle into and lose wakefulness. Take away anything that dulls your edge. No newspapers or magazines. No TV. No candy, cookies, or sweets. No sex. No cuddling. No reading of anything at all while you eat or sit on the toilet. Reduce working time to a necessary minimum. No movies, no conversation that isn't about truth, love, or the divine. If you take on these disciplines for a few weeks, as well as any other disciplines that may particularly cut through your unique habits of dullness, then your life will be stripped of routine distraction. All that will be left is the edge you have been avoiding by means of your daily routine. You will have to face the basic discomfort and dissatisfaction that is the hidden texture of your life. You will be alive with the challenge of living your truth rather than hiding from it. Unadorned suffering is the bedmate of masculine growth. Only by staying intimate with your personal suffering can you feel through it to its source. By putting all your attention into work, TV, sex, and reading, your suffering remains unpenetrated and the source remains hidden. Your life becomes structured entirely by your favorite means of sidestepping the suffering you rarely allow yourself to feel. And when you do touch the surface of your suffering, perhaps in the form of boredom, you quickly pick up a magazine or the remote control. Instead, feel your suffering. Rest with it. Embrace it. Make love with it. Feel your suffering so deeply and thoroughly that you penetrate it and realize its fearful foundation. Almost everything you do because you are afraid to die. And yet, dying is exactly what you are doing from the moment you are born. 2 hours of absorption in a good Super Bowl telecast may distract you temporarily, but the fact remains. You were born as a sacrifice, and you can either participate in the sacrifice, dissolving in the giving of your gift, or you can resist it, which is your suffering. By eliminating the safety net of comforts in your life, you have the opportunity to free fall in this moment between birth and death, right through the hole of your fear, into the unthreatenable openness which is the source of your gifts. The superior man lives as this spontaneous sacrifice of love. The other means, besides austerity, for rediscovering your masculine core is through challenge. The more superficial forms of challenge include activities like mountain climbing, ropes courses, competitive sports, and boot camp. These forms of physical challenge instantly enliven the masculine sense of purpose and direction in men and women. Deeper forms of challenge involve directly giving your gifts in ways that have been blocked by your fear. If you have always been afraid of public speaking, you can take on the challenge of speaking in public once a week for 3 months. If you fail and miss an appointment 1 week, the following week you must give 3 talks. If you have always wanted to write a novel but could never finish one, you tell your friends that you are going to complete 1 chapter a week or a month for the next year. Every time you don't complete your weekly goal, you owe your friends $100. If you don't complete your yearly goal, you owe them $10,000. The point is, there must be a consequence for freezing in the face of fear. There are obvious consequences for freezing in the face of fear when mountain climbing or playing competitive sports. You must instill consequences throughout the rest of your life, unless you want to cling to the safety net of superficial pleasures. The most potent forms of masculine realignment involve both austerity and challenge. Go to the middle of the woods by yourself, with only survival necessities. Nothing to read, nothing to do. Fast from food and don't sleep for as long as possible. Challenge your attention with some practice, like chanting or ritual movement, so that your attention doesn't drift or become balmy. Open yourself and wait. Do not cover your suffering. Do not quit before you fall through the hole of your fear and emerge with a vision of your true mission, the unique form of your living sacrifice. This kind of isolation and challenge is an extreme and potent form of masculine vision questing, but there are more common forms that are useful in everyday life. Spend time every day in solitude, with no distractions. Just sit for 10 minutes. No fidgeting, no channel surfing, no magazine thumbing. Just be exactly as you are, not trying to change anything. Stay with your suffering until you fall through it and into it, the groundless source of your life. Just as your woman must regularly spend time with only women, you must regularly spend time with only men. At least once a week, get together with your friends to serve one another. Cut through the bullshit and talk with each other straight. If you feel your friend is wasting his life, tell him so, because you love him. Welcome such criticism from your friends. Suggest challenges for each other to take on, in order to bring each other through the fears which limit your surrender and gifting. Always agree on consequences for not persisting in the challenge. For instance, if you agree to ravish your wife for 3 hours every other day for a week, then also agree to mow your friend's yard if you miss a day of ravishment. You should alternate these kinds of cutting-through-the-bullshit gatherings with masculine celebrations. Even during these celebrations, though, there should be a challenge to remain conscious and undistracted. They are not occasions for lapsing from fullness, but for communing beyond fear. Perhaps you can all go swimming in ice-cold water together, or drink to the point of inebriation and then spend the rest of the night chanting hymns of the mystery of existence. Nobody allowed to drift. Whatever you do, share as much loving as you can with your friends, without settling for mediocrity or less than each man's fullest gifts. Make sure that you arrange for your woman's rejuvenative time and your own. Otherwise, you will rot in the cushions of bargain stagnation and sexual neutralization, which pad your true edge of living your gift in relationship. Chapter 51. Practice Dissolving. Like dissolving in the intensity of an orgasm, a man's greatest desire is to be utterly released. Moment by moment, practice loving through your woman and the world, allowing the force of your surrender to transform every moment into an orgasm of divine dissolution. Embrace every moment of experience as a lover, and trust whatever direction love moves you. Die in the giving of your gift, so you don't even notice you have stopped holding on to yourself. Fear is your final excuse. Don't fight it. Love through it.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.